Been preaching for a pretty good while. This is on God and sinners. This is part number six that we want to bring about. But tonight we want to look in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. In Revelation 19, we want to talk about the lake of fire and brimstone. This is a terrible place. It's a place oftentimes that we kind of want to back away from. I think that we don't even want to think about it. I know that there's a lot of lost people that's going to wind up in this terrible place. Notice in the book of Revelation 19 and verse number 20, the Bible said here, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." There the Bible tells us that the beast, the false prophet, they're taken and they're cast alive without any kind of judgment at all into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is where the final abode of all those that are lost are going to be. This is the time, okay? Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we begin tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that you might help me, Lord, that I might be able to say what you want me to say, or that you might be honored and glorified in all these things, not that I would. Lord, I pray that you might keep us from harm. Help us, Lord, as we live in this wicked world, that we might ever be a good witness for you. I pray, Lord, that you might just guide our thoughts, our minds. Help us be a good witness day by day as we live. And I pray, Lord, that you might be with this message tonight, that your will might be done. Lord, that those that are lost might see the calamity that's awaiting them, that they might come to you in pure saving faith, trusting you and only you for eternal life. Just bless now. Watch over us. Keep us close to you tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. When is the lake of fire a reality? Notice this fact, that the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse number 20, that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. That's the two parts of the unholy Trinity. These have wrought miracles before the Antichrist, before Satan. And he used these beasts, he used all of these miracles to deceive them that received the mark of the beast. The Bible says in the last sentence of this verse, these both were cast alive into fire burning with brimstone. Did you know that the lake of fire was there? Hell is there too. But the lake of fire was there too. Understand? The lake of fire and hell are both happening at the same time, according to the Scripture. At this point, there are souls that are still alive upon the earth. There's others that have died and gone to hell because of their unbelief. But just notice the time frame. The lake of fire is not hell. Hell is cast into the lake of fire. Somebody would say, Well, hell is terrible. That's a bad place to be. That's true. Hell is a bad place. But the lake of fire is even worse than that. And the lake of fire had inhabitants before all those people that was lost were cast in. The Bible says in Revelation 19, verse number 20, these were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That is, before the great white throne judgment. At least 1,000 years. You just read your Bible. At least 1,000 years before the great white throne judgment. The lake of fire was there. Sometimes we don't think about it like that. But that is exactly the way it is. Sometimes today, people are more interested in discovering who the beast and the false prophet are than they are in where they're going. How many books have you read or have seen in the library about who the Antichrist is? How many speculations are there about that? I mean, the world is full of that stuff. Frankly, I don't know who the Antichrist is. If you ask me, I don't know who he is. I have no idea. I've heard about the Antichrist all my life. I still don't know who he is. I think that God don't want me to know. I think if we're looking at the beast, I think if we're looking at the Antichrist, we're looking the wrong direction. We need to be looking toward Jesus Christ, who grants us salvation, and not to all this other garbage. You know, I don't think it makes any difference who they are. I don't think it makes any difference at all. It doesn't to me anyway. I think we'll be looking rather at Jesus Christ. He is our supreme commander. I think it makes much more sense to be interested in who Jesus Christ is than it does for us to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, who the beast is, who the unholy prophet is. I think it makes much more sense for us just to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and look to Him. I think that's what He wants us to do. Nothing else. Think of something else. In Revelation 19, verse number 20, where is the judgment? Where? Are these people judged? The beast and the beast here and the false prophet, are they ever judged? Doesn't say that. I don't find it anywhere that they're judged. But they're cast in the lake of fire. You know, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where that the devil was judged either. We are. But the devil, evidently, is just cast into the lake of fire just the way he is. But we're judged. And God's going to judge all of those that are lost. Think of that. The way God is. The second place that the lake of fire is mentioned is in Revelation chapter 20. This is in verse number 10. The Bible says here in this place, you see, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the false prophet, are, and there and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we find here that the lake of fire absolutely, there's only three beings in that. Well, I can find. I know there's going to be some letter cast in there. I know that. But at this point, I only see three. The beast, the false prophet. And now, 1,000 years later, the Antichrist himself is cast in there. The devil himself. In verse number 20, look at this. In chapter 20, verse number 1. The Bible said in this place, at the close of the tribulation period, that Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. That's another place. It's a pit with no bottom in it. I don't understand exactly what that is. Unless it's just a hole that there's no place to grab onto. There's nothing there. There's nothingness. Satan is put in there for 1,000 years. Who puts him in there? The Bible said in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand." What's this angel's name? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it's a strong angel. I think it's a mean one. It doesn't say that. The Bible simply says an angel comes from God for the purpose of locking the devil up in this bottomless pit. The Bible said that this angel grabbed a hold of Satan, that old dragon, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. I don't know if that pit, when it says bottomless, there's no place to stand. I mean, that's all I can figure. And is he going to be falling for 1,000 years? He's got a great chain. He can't get out. He's locked in. And during the 1,000 years that Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, there is complete peace and harmony upon this earth. There it is. I don't know what it would be like. I do not know what it would be like. Have complete peace and harmony. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the troubles that I have. The things that I bring upon myself. Because that's all the stuff the devil brings on me. I don't know what it would be like. I think it would be a great time though. But the Bible says that he's bound here for 1,000 years. The Bible said in verse number 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him." Well, that's a surety thing that God is doing. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. How long is a little season? I have no idea. I don't really know how long it is. I don't. I know it's a little while. How long is that? I don't know. Maybe a year, two, three. I don't know. I don't think it's a long time. I don't think it's a long time at all. The Bible tells us that the tribulation period was 7 years long. It will be 7 years long. But this is a little season. Just a little while. Satan will be loosed. So there it is. Think of this, that for 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet will be in the bottomless pit, evidently by themselves. Now, some might disagree with that. That's fine with me. I don't care. But the devil is going to be cast into the bottomless pit. That's what I see. But look in Revelation 20 and verse number 14. There's going to come a judgment day when here people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is the same place where the beast and the false prophet are. In Revelation 20 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. This is a terrible calamity. Hell is bad. Hell is a place of fire, according to the rich man. Hell is a place that they just burn. And it's a bad, bad place. But the lake of fire is even worse than that. I know some people believe that people are going to be cast in the lake of fire and they're going to be burned up and they're going to be gone. You know, I don't believe that. And I'll show you in a little while, because they're facing everlasting damnation. They're facing everlasting destruction at the hand of God. It's not a temporary thing. Don't think, if you're lost today, don't think that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire and you're going to be burned up and that's going to be it. Don't think that. Because it's not going to be that way. People that are cast in the lake of fire will be there forever and ever and ever, and never a drop of water down there. They're going to be everlastingly burned up. Now, that's not the way that I burn things. I remember a while back, I burned a bunch of boxes down at the shop. Okay? Had a bunch of boxes down there, just set them all in a pile out there on the driveway, because there's rock all the way around. I wasn't going to burn it if anything else. And I set one of them on fire. And I watched them burn. I stirred them up. After a while, they went out. Because it's all burned up. Nothing left. But you know, the lake of fire is not going to be that way. Hell is not that way either. Because hell is cast into the lake of fire. It's not going to be that you're going to be burned up. This is going to be a most terrible thing. Who's going to be there? The Bible said this in verse number 15 of Revelation 20. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is it. This is the finality of it all. Cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. The Bible said here in verse number 8. Well, verse number 7 compares this. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." And on the one hand, if you overcome, you will inherit all things. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That is one side of the issue. But the other side of the issue is found in verse number 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The Bible says that twice. If you look in chapter 20, verse 14, the last sentence of chapter 20, verse 14 is this phrase. This is the second death. This is the same way that verse 10 of verse number 8 of chapter 21 ends, which is the second death. He wants us to understand that. That death is a bad thing. A person that is facing death They will shy away from that. I don't blame them at all. I do. That's a natural thing because we want to live. That's all we know down here upon this earth. But the Bible says that if you're lost, everyone has to die twice. It's bad enough to leave this world. But it's bad enough, it's even worse than that, whenever you leave God. This is what's going to happen. Because people that are lost and they're alive, they have an opportunity right now to trust Christ. They have an opportunity now to believe in Him. But when they die and they go into hell, that opportunity is over with, but they're going to face God one more time. But soon, at the great white throne judgment, they're going to face God alone for the last time. And that's going to be over with. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the devil is and where the beast is. And where the unholy prophet is, that is where they're going to spend their eternity. On the other hand, if a person just simply trusts Christ, that's it. If a person just believes in Christ, then what's going to await them? The Bible said in Revelation 21 and verse number 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I mean, that's it. Just trusting Christ. Just believe in Him. That's it. Terrible things await those that are lost. You know, there are those today that say, there's not any place like that. Now they've not ever gone there. They might. If they're lost, they're going to go there. But look in Revelation 22 and verse number 18. Revelation 22, verse number 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." And you've heard it tonight. You've heard the prophecy of this book tonight. This book, I read to you from the book of Revelation. You've heard that tonight. The Bible said, "If any man say that these things are not so, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Do you think God's telling the truth? Well, I know He is. He always does. Verse number 19. "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away His part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Think that's going to happen? I know it will. God said it. That settles it. The thing about it is that a person must be very, very sure that they're saved. While you're alive, you need to be very sure that you are saved. The time to be saved is not later. The time to be saved is right now. I mean, the way the world is going, I mean, the way this political situation is in this world today, it teaches us that you can't trust this world. You can't rely upon your bank account. There's a lot of different theories going around about how that they're going to take over all of this. Listen. They can't take away my soul. I'm glad for that. I think if they could, they would get it. But they can't take it away. I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I die. I know where I'm going if the rapture comes before I die. I know that. I have confidence in that. I'm grateful to God that salvation is a gift that He gives to me. If you're lost tonight, I just tell you this, that you need to trust Christ. That's the only place you have any kind of hope. You can't have hope in your job. You can have hope in anything else. You're going to lose it all. Be very aware of that one place. Look back in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And verse number 10. That this lake of fire is a place of eternal torments. The place that people are going is where the devil and the false prophet and the beast will be. They're going to be there very soon. I don't know when, but I'm reading to you from the Bible. I just tell you what the Bible says. It says in verse number 10, Revelation 20, verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. There's three down there then. But notice what the Bible says. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is where people are going. Now, it's not only going to be that the devil is going to be tormented. It's not only going to be that the unholy spirit is going to be or the beast. That they're going to be tormented all right. I tell you what, every person that goes there, you'll be facing the eternal torment. And there's no way out of it. There's no way out of it whatsoever. You know, like I said, those people that say that people in hell are just burned up, that's not so. It's not so at all. But they're facing eternal damnation at the hand of Almighty God. How long will they be there? The Bible says that they're tormented when? You see in verse number 10? They're tormented how long? How long does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't say there until they're destroyed. The Bible doesn't say until they're annihilated. It doesn't say that at all. But the Bible says day and night. Day and night. What does it say after that? Forever and ever. How long is that? Listen, that's time without end. That's how long that people are going to be in the lake of fire. That's how long the devil's torment is. And yours won't be any different. You're going to be down there with him. I mean, that's it. Now, tonight, today, we're in this nice air-conditioned building, right? I mean, it's kind of nice. Boy, down there, it won't be air-conditioned at all. It's the lake of fire and brimstone. Fire burns. Fire hurts. Fire destroys, you might say. But in that day, the worm will never die. The soul will never die. They'll live on, live on, live on, and yet ever dying. And that is the truth of it. In Revelation 14, look at this place. Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 10. The Bible said here in this place, this is a prophecy, said the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord. This is the most terrible situation. So who's that talking about? He's talking about people. He's talking about people alive during the tribulation period. That's what he's talking about. Look in verse number 6. Whenever the Lord begins to torment people, He always gives them a warning. And today, God is warning you. God wants you to listen to the Word of God. This may be an old book, but it's a true book. It's a book of the things that will happen. Some of it we may have wrong. But I tell you what, we don't have this wrong. Read it with me. In the book of Revelation 14, verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Listen, before people are cast into hell, and then later cast into the lake of fire, there's a warning given to them. These people have killed the prophets. These are the ones that have despised that which is good. They have said it's unholy. They don't like that at all. Tell you what, these are the people like those that killed Christ. They may kill believers too, but that's okay. Because I know where I'm going. I don't want to die. I don't want to be tormented. I don't want my family to be tormented. I don't see my children, my grandchildren have to go through anything bad. I'm just like you in that. But I tell you what, there's going to come a day when believers will be tormented. So I don't talk about that. Well, you don't have to talk about it. You might as well listen to it. Because that's the truth. There's going to come a day when God's people are going to be tormented by the Antichrist. In this day, the saved, if there's any saved left, will not be able to speak. But the Bible says that God in His mercy will have an angel to fly in the midst of heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. Boy, can you understand that? This angel is flying through heaven. Understand that? The Bible says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. How could that be? But that will happen. This angel that flies through the midst of heaven has the everlasting gospel, has the good news to preach all over this world. The Bible said He comes to preach to those that dwell upon the earth, to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, and every people. That's going to happen. In verse number 7, here's what the angel says. Fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the thousands of the waters. Just worship God. This angel is begging as he preaches the Word of God. Verse number 8, another angel follows him. Oh, another angel? That's right. Another angel follows the first one, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That angel is going to come across too. The Babylon is fallen. And the world is going to be in great turmoil. They're going to be all upset because Babylon is gone. Their hope, their dreams, their admirations, it's all gone. It's all wiped away. The angel comes and flies through heaven and says, Babylon is fallen, that great city. She made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In verse number 9, the third angel follows. 1, 2, 3. Just one after another. The first message is a message of salvation. The second message is a message that you can't trust this earth, because this earth is down. You need to look up. Listen, I'm going to tell you today, you can't trust this earth. You can trust Jesus Christ. That's the first message. You can trust Christ. You make all kinds of plans that you want to make, but that don't mean you're going to fulfill any of them. You need to trust Christ and Him alone. But the Bible says in verse number 9, there's a third angel that follows them. 1, 2, 3. The third angel follows, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." The smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Listen, that day is coming. What will you do? Notice in verse number 10. The Bible says here, "Shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence." In the presence of the holy angels. That will take place. That God and all of His holy angels will be there looking upon as those souls are tormented day and night forever and ever. See, I don't believe that. That's fine with me. That don't mean it's not going to happen. I mean, you can believe what you won't believe. You have all kinds of questions about it. I got some questions myself. I tell you what, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you need to see this very valuable truth. That is that Jesus Christ is the first one you need to be looking to. That's what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Is this first angel comes, and the first angel says, "Worship God, see God." Listen, if there's nothing else you know, I pray that you might know that Jesus Christ is the one you'll be looking to. Because anything else you look to is going to be wrong. Anything else. You can't look to the people you know that are saved. You got to look to Christ. You can't look to the churches you know that are preaching the truth. You got to look to Christ. You can look to anything that you do. You need to look to Christ. Look to Him only. This angel preaches the everlasting gospel. The second death is coming. Look at Revelation 20 and verse number 14 again, as we rehearse this again before you. It is the second death. Revelation 20 and verse 14, the last sentence of verse 14 states, this is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse number 8, the Bible says here in this place, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This is a terrible, terrible, terrible place. There may be some tonight that are going to that place. Maybe some in this building tonight that are going to see that because they refuse to trust Christ. They refuse to do that. There's at least three reasons that I want to give tonight for there being a second death. Notice, first of all, then this torment of the lake of fire are the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. You need to be aware of this. Number two, all that will be cast in the lake of fire will be eternally separated from God. Eternally separated from God. As the first death is the separation of the soul from the body, so the second death is the eternal separation of that person from God. The most terrible thing. Look in the book of 2 Thessalonians. We get out of the book of Revelation just for a second. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 9. You see, it's just not only in the book of Revelation that the everlasting destruction is talked about, but it's other places in the Bible as well. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 9. Let's read verse number 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us. Boy, that's a good thing, rest. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, this is what's going to happen. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I think God is greater than we think He is. Because the Bible says that here in this place that unbelievers will be separated from the presence of the Lord, and yet God will be able to look at them throughout all eternity. The most terrible thing. Third, this title, The Second Death, emphasizes the dreadfulness of the lake of fire. I think it's one thing to shy away from death, which nobody can really shy away from, although we might try to do so. After all, if the doctor prescribes something, I'm going to take it. That's why I walk on the treadmill. I do all that I can. But you think then that when the Holy Spirit designates the lake of fire as the second death, is emphasizing that this is a place that all sinners ought to stay away from, but they can't. Sinners who are without God, lost sinners, are going to go to hell. And then from hell, they're going to go into the lake of fire. I wish I could tell you something different. I wish I could. I wish I could tell you that there is an opportunity for you to be saved after you're dead. I wish there was. But I don't find it in the Scripture. I don't. What I see is calamity that's awaiting those who are lost. You need to be aware of that. I want to get to, there's another point, but I want to get to this one too. I want to read to you four scriptures. One in the book of Matthew. And it's talking about how that people that are lost will face eternal damnation. There's four of these scriptures. Matthew 25 and verse number 41 is one of these. Matthew 25 and verse number 41. This passage talks about everlasting fire. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. I want you to see that. The Lord one day, he will look upon you and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Matthew 25. In verse number 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is the two options. Saved or lost. Everlasting punishment. Look in the book of Mark, chapter number 3. In verse 29. We read the third time. Mark chapter 3. In verse number 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven, but is in danger of eternal damnation. That's without end. One final place. We've already read the book of 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 9. When the Bible speaks about everlasting destruction. That's 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 9. The Bible said, who shall be punished to everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? On the other hand, I will read to you four other scriptures that talk about everlasting life. This is the way it is. Either you're saved eternally or you're damned eternally. This is it. This is it. I know you may be thinking, I'll be alright. Just leave me alone. I'll be alright. You don't have to worry about me bothering you. You'd be worried about the Holy Spirit bothering you. Because He can. In John 3 and verse number 16, I want to read you this place. It talks about the hope. This is where it's at. John 3:16. I think you know that verse, don't you, from memory? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you understand that God so loved sinners? Can you understand that God so loved you? It's hard enough for me to understand that God so loved me. I'm glad He did. I'm glad that He died for me. I'm glad that God troubled me with my soul. I'm glad that God brought this very evident to me, made it true to me. Look in another place. Romans 16 and verse number 16. Romans 16 and verse number 26. Romans 16 and verse number 26. But now is made manifest, Romans 16, 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. God is everlasting. The salvation that He gives lasts as long as He does. It never wears out. Think about that we're here upon this earth. We have time. The time started in Genesis 1. God is immune from that. God is eternal. God is eternal. Eternal salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. The Bible said here in this place, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation upon all them that obey Him. God can give you eternal life. He is the author of it. The plan that He's following is His plan. He devised it. He originated it. It's all His. Trust the Lord. One more place. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5 verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I've been called into eternal glory. But you know what the rest of the verse says? After that ye have suffered a while. And the reason for suffering is to make us perfect, to establish, to strengthen, and to settle us. We can preach a message on that too. Understand that God wants you to trust Him. You think about this book of Revelation, why that it's even written. God wants us to know. God wants us to understand. If you're lost today, God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to believe in Him. He can wash away your sins. It's just like if you got an old dirty shirt or whatever, you put it in the washing machine, it comes out nice and clean. Or you got a dirty dish, it's got filth all over it. You can wash it up, scrub it up, wash it nice and clean. That's the way we are. But we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is real. I mean, salvation is real. People say it's not real. It is real. I tell you what, it is real. I know I've been saved. I know it. Not because of anything I've done. It's really what God has done for me. That's the whole issue. If you're lost in that, I pray that you might be able to see these things we've talked about. These things that are definite. These things that will happen if you're lost. We pray for you that the Lord would just save your unworthy soul tonight. If you're saved, I pray that you might be able to rejoice in the good things that God has done for you. Okay? I'm all done. Brother Brian, would you come please as we sing this song?